Welcome to All Well Stands Back to the Basics radio program. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. You can visit the website at www.allwellstand.org. Okay, so this show, we're going to be discussing a little bit more about creation. And this time we are going to be discussing more in depth God creating man. So I'm going to roll back here and start off with Genesis, the first book of the Bible, verse 26. We're going to read a few there, and then we're going to skip forward. So starting with verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the flying creatures of the heavens, and over the beast, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that moves on the earth." I'll interject there. So when God says, "Let us make man in our image," what it's talking about is God is triune. God is three in one. He's part of the Trinity. You have God the Father. You have God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. Let me continue. So, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. So we can see the singular there, right? In his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed him, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the flying creatures of heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So now we're going to go ahead and we are going to skip down to chapter 2 and get a little bit more information about this creation. Man, our original parents, way a long time ago at the beginning of the creation, we're going to get some more information. So for that, we're just going to continue on with Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So think about that. Out of the dust of the ground, there is a very interesting verse I'd like to go over. Okay, not going to get into all the details in here, but the second part of Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 says, "For dust you are, into dust you shall return." And we can also take a look at Psalms 104, 29, second part. "You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust." So this is interesting. So we were originally created, originally Adam and Eve. Well, we'll see how Adam was created and Eve was created. Originally, Adam was created from the dust of the ground. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So, continuing on with verse 8. So it's God that gave mankind life. Verse 8 says, "And Jehovah God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground Jehovah God made to sprout every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is one which circles around all the land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Baldeam and the onyx stones are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is one which circles around all the land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It is the one going towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates." Then Jehovah God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may eat to feed. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die to death. So, I want you to think about that. This is fundamental to, if you have questions, if you're seeking answers about God, about what the Bible teaches, about what Christianity is really about, well, we have to go back to the basics. And one of the things we have to know, that's very helpful to know, is found, a lot of it is found in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. And so we see that God created us. He created mankind, male and female. And so right there, that tells us, okay, we are under subjection to him. We are, the creator can do what he wants with his creation. And we see something here. We see the basis here. So anywhere you live, you don't have to live in Africa to realize this. You could live in almost anywhere. There's evil everywhere. I mean, just read the news or look at the national news. There is evil everywhere. It wasn't always that way before the fall. And we're going to get into that. But one of the things that, you know, there was one rule. It always amazes me. And the rule was this. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, verse 16 of chapter 2, of every tree of the garden you may eat the feed, but of a tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die to death. So, before we get into a little bit more, there's another tree there. Did you catch that when I went over earlier? So, in verse 9 of the same chapter, chapter 2, there is the tree of life. So, if you read that verse, and out of the ground Jehovah God made to sprout every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So you have here, you have a couple trees that are mentioned, and these are not just regular trees. These are not, you know, a maple, an oak. They're not some sort of a pine tree. No, these are special trees. These are trees that have fruit like we could not find. However, I will tell you, for those, you know, a little bit more advanced, definitely, but eventually there will be leaves of trees and fruit. And this is after everything is done. After everything that God has said would happen is done, there will be these leaves to heal the nations and fruit, and things will be restored as they were during the creation. Things will return back to that way that God intended. They'll be very good indeed. But, so you have the one rule here. So you have this tree of life. And that's quite interesting. Because there were people who, I remember when I was in school a long time ago, The rumor was the Spaniards, when they were exploring parts of the United States, thought maybe Florida had the tree of life. I remember reading that in my book. I've only ever heard that once. But men would go around looking for it. Well, I assure you that was lost during the flood. It is not there. You can look high and low. You can go through every hectare of jungle that you might find that has never been explored, the little bit that's left. And you will not find the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That fruit, we already have that. And we'll see that in a different segment. And then, because our parents, the original parents, ate that. And that got passed down to you and me. And then, but you know, the tree of life. And so that's interesting. So we'll get it more, a little bit more into the tree of life. But we had this one rule. And the rule was just, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat in it, you shall die to death. I mean, that's it. So one rule, not just one rule. That's it. Interesting. Well, let's continue on. Verse 18, and Jehovah God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper to complement him. Out of the ground Jehovah God formed every living thing of the field and every flying creature of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the animals, to the flying creatures of the heavens, to every living thing of the field, but for the man there was not found a helper to complement him. And Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which Jehovah God had taken out of the man, he rebuilt into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This now at last is bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man leaving his father and mother and having cleaved to his wife, they are one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So let's go over a few of those things. So God caused Adam a deep sleep to fall on him, and he took one of his ribs and rebuilt it into a woman. Brought her to the man, brought her to Adam, and her name, of course, it was Eve. Adam and Eve, the first parents. Now, here is the interesting thing. I remember when I was younger, I always believed the Bible. I always did when I was young, as far as I can remember. I got saved at the age of 9 years old, and I just believed the Bible. But as I went through public school, you know, I knew that evolution wasn't true. You know, I still went to youth groups and stuff, and even though they were far from perfect, they definitely taught certain things. But there wasn't these creation ministries in the scheme of things as you see nowadays, or, you know, there wasn't really that. So I remember I started having questions. I didn't not believe the Bible, but I started wondering if perhaps the 6 24-hour days that we went over in the first portion of creation, perhaps it was what people said, and it was like, you know, like theistic evolution, I think is what they call it. And there was also a gap theory, and that one I didn't really pay much attention into, and it's not true. But in, you know, same thing, Institute for Creation Research, ICR.org, for those who have more questions and want to get into more of an in-depth study. But for those who just simply want to hear the truth, this is it. Well, anyway, so I remember I've always been fascinated with dinosaurs. And it's kind of interesting to live in South Dakota now. And I used to live in Montana. And, you know, because you live in a place like Michigan. And you know, they don't really... They have found some mastodon fossils downstate. But I grew up in northern Michigan. It's a lot of sand. You don't find dinosaur fossils. There's nothing found there. However, I shouldn't say there's nothing. But not like that. You can find... there's limestone that has stuff in it. In fact, I have some pieces of limestone that have seashells with color in it. I mean, and they're fossilized. And so you break open a rock and you can find it. So you find a piece of limestone and you break them open. And you'll be surprised how many you can find if you get a good chunk of rock. Anyway, but I started having questions like, how do dinosaurs fit into the Bible? And I eventually got the answers. There was a book I bought by Ken Ham. He's from the Answers in Genesis, and I don't remember exactly the name of the book, but it answered a lot of those questions. And I, when I go and talk to people on the street, I always carry with me, I have these little thin booklets. Never had to give one out. I have a few of them where if somebody has questions like, oh, you know, they say something negative about Genesis being, you know, scientifically sound, I can hand them this little thing that gives them some brief explanations. It's a little book that is made for that purpose. And directs them to further information should they want it. Because I'm definitely not that scientific minded. But I know enough. And so one of the questions I also had was, okay, so a little bit confused about the dinosaurs, but okay. But there's a way to seemingly prove this here. And I think I was 18, maybe 17 at the time, when these things came to me, and I was a senior in high school. And I thought, okay, so God took one of the ribs out of Adam, and he built Eve. Ah, therefore, let me use some very basic logic that was incorrect. And I'm going to assume that men have one less rib than women. So let me ask my science teacher, you know. Well, the problem is they don't, you know. So Adam presumably would have. Adam presumably would have. Now, maybe God put it back, but just it doesn't say that anywhere. It just says that God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. So presumably, I would assume that Adam had one less rib. But because we know that when a child is created from its parents, we know that, and of course, let me be very careful here, because that soul is from God. So when that baby is born, it has that DNA, you know, and parents often are like, oh, it looks like the dad, it looks like the mom, it looks like both of them. And that DNA is there. And so if the father was missing an arm, that baby's still going to have both arms. You know, it's not going to not have an arm because the father's missing an arm. That's not the way it works. And so true is that with the rib situation. The children of Adam and Eve are going to have all the ribs which God originally intended, and they're not going to be short one just because Adam may have been. Okay, so, you know, as far as dinosaurs, you know, that is something that I think I would want ICR.org answer, just because it depends on how in-depth. I mean, it's really simple. The geological record and even the fossil record, if one is willing to look at what is actually out there and if one is able to actually get that true information, it verifies the Genesis account. So, now you have the first woman, and this all happened extraordinarily quick. And so, there they are, because if you look at Genesis chapter 1, it talks about God created a male and female, so this seemingly happened during the day. Adam named the animals. And they're like, well, there's so many animals. Well, that is a little bit more in depth of a discussion. But at the time, the Bible speaks of animals after its kinds. So essentially, you might not have had, just as people have made more types of dogs over the years, tons of dogs. They're still dogs. But there are tons of breeds of dogs that have been created. So too, there are tons of types of animals that have been created from the original animals. And so just like even in the United States, house cats, different breeds of house cats could still be had by mating this cat with this cat, and then you would have a different type of cat, one that somebody would have to name. But if you were to go back and, say, subtract 200 years worth of breeding cats, you would certainly have a lot less to name. And if you went back all the way to the creation, you would only have that which God actually created, not every single subspecies of that, if that makes sense. So, now, so here they are. God introduces them, and he institutes something here, okay? Adam calls her a woman because he says, this now at last is bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. That's what Adam says. So, man and woman. Verse 24 says, therefore a man, leaving his father and mother and having cleaved to his wife, they are one flesh. Okay. That verse is so important. Understand that no matter what the ceremonial rites of marriage are in your respective country, or the legal rites are in your respective country, you know, the legal document paperwork, from God's perspective, I'm going to try to leave this very simple, and you can either believe God's word or not. Okay, this is for those who want to learn these things. When a man and a woman come together in union, it's not a piece of paper, nor is it any ceremony that is had beforehand, but they cleave to one another and they become one flesh in God's eyes. In other words, they become one. And it kind of makes sense when you consider that the one originally was taken out of the other one. So they were linked. They were linked. Now let's get to verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, of course, there's some weirdos out there in the United States. I don't know. This stuff happens all over. I know what happens in Europe too. I'm not sure about Africa or South America or China, but presumably men are men, and I'm assuming this stuff probably happens everywhere. But there's very few people who would join a nudist colony and run around there completely naked and not be ashamed. Most people would not, it would be a shameful thing to be naked and on spectacle to the eyes of anyone who would happen to view. Okay, it would be a shameful thing. It should be. For most people, it would be. And verse 25 says, and they were not ashamed. So they didn't think that way. Okay, and of course, they didn't have a spectacle at that moment. I mean, you have two people. You have Adam and you have Eve. But they're both newly introduced to each other, you know, but still, they weren't ashamed. So there was nothing wrong with it. Now, so we're going to get into that during the fall. So something happened. So what's different there? What's different? Well, so as we're finishing up the topic of creation, of how we came about being, how this ground that we all walk upon, these, you know, underneath the sun in whatever respective country we might come from around the world, it makes no difference. We all come from, what we could say, Adam and Eve. And then we could fast forward and look at the eight people who survived the flood. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. It's a topic that we will go off of later, and hopefully will eventually be up on the website sooner than later. And we could take a look at that too, and we could say, well, we're all descended from them, and which would be true. So like we could just go ahead and skip Adam and Eve, fast forward that, or we can look at Adam and Eve, and either way, we're not going to be incorrect, because you can take a look at the lineage of Jesus found in Matthew, found in Luke, and you can take a look there and see how that's done too. And so what we end up with here at all is a reality of is that rule that I had spoken about, where there was only one rule, and what was that? Well, verse 17 said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Okay, so they hadn't eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So there was no impure thoughts. And I think that's the key here when it comes to nakedness, is sometimes the thought patterns of people, sometimes, I shouldn't say sometimes, I would say it is a rare person who would be able to, only through Christ could somebody keep themselves pure. I have heard of many, many, many stories. And even that, there is a time and a place and a totally different discussion of which we're not going to have. But the reality is there was no knowledge of good and evil. So at that point, there was no possibility of evil thoughts whatsoever. None whatsoever. Could not have happened. Did not happen. There was nothing there going on. There was no knowledge of such things. So that's the key. So let me go ahead and now let's take a look at a summary, because this is very, very important. So if you're wondering, okay, what does the Bible say? What does God's word say is the actual origins of mankind? Well, if you take a look and you listen to both of these shows, and I would encourage you to get a copy of the Bible and read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. It doesn't take long. And just read it for yourself. And you take a look at that, and just the simplicity of it. I mean, the simplicity of it, we were created by God. That's you, that's me. Every bird that flies, every tree, every animal on the ground, every fish, every blade of grass, everything that we see. You know, when we sit down for dinner, and I'll be sitting down for dinner here in a few minutes, and we eat whatever is cooked and put before us, whatever has been prepared, whatever God has provided for us. When we eat, that food is made out of things that God created here in the very beginning of the history. And the history of the earth is, it's just over 6,000 years old. It is not millions of years old. It's not that long. I think we're about 4,500 years away from the flood. So tonight I'm going to have a delicious sandwich with chicken and some vegetables on it. A little bit of mayonnaise. And, you know, that's going to be made from wheat and then, well, chicken comes from a chicken and, you know, the vegetables from plants that God created. And, yeah, it's not too much of anything. That's, I often eat a sandwich for dinner and kind of, with my schedule, might eat more of a cooked meal for lunch. That's just the way my schedule works. But the thing about it is God made these things. God made these things, as it said clearly in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." So, you know, I mean, there it is. I mean, I'm going to be eating some vegetables and having some grains, and these are things that God created and provided, and for nourishment for the body he also created. I mean, I'll tell you one thing that is just amazing. For those who are skeptical, I'm like, well, did God really create us? I had read that behind, and this is in a Way of Life, Old Timothy magazine from wayoflife.org from David Cloud. And behind in the eye is this little lubricant drop, created a little pouch. And they don't even know precisely what the chemical is. And they didn't know what it was used for a long time ago, but there's a few drops of, we'll say, eye lubricant hidden behind your eye. There is no, it would take me more faith to believe that somehow evolution allowed that to happen. The human eye alone is so complex that it defies logic that that could happen. I remember when I was younger, and I was in high school, and I actually had a pretty good Sunday school teacher, at least in this regards. And we're sitting in a classroom, me and some other high school guys at a church, and the guy says, "Well, I want to tell you about evolution." "What'd they tell you?" And he picks up a chair in the classroom. He says, "It makes about as much sense as this chair just appearing here out of nowhere." I've never forgotten that. Actually, that would make more sense. A chair just appearing out of nowhere is far, far less in complex. I'm sitting on a chair right now. And you might say, "Well, hey, a wooden chair, maybe that's possible. Just solid wood, right?" Well, I'm sitting on a chair right now that has, I don't know if it's real leather or fake leather. Not sure. It might be pleather, that's what I call it. It has some metal on it. It has a little bit of plastic on it. It's one of those office chairs, but I don't have the cushion on it. Just a plain leather chair. It has a spinner on the bottom and that type of stuff. That's not going to appear on nowhere. It's not. There's nothing that can create it. You need all these materials that God created and man's manipulation of them to create this chair. Likewise, your body, if you think about the complexity of it, your digestive system, your breathing, your hearing, your eyes, the feel that you have, your reproductive system, your organs all throughout you, your hair, your fingernails, it's not possible. It's not possible. Okay. So I just simply believe God in his word. And I have studied, you know, I've went to ICR.org and I have books on these subjects. And I have read numerous books about, you know, creation versus evolution. And they have proven beyond a doubt that God's word is true. So I say that, you know, I've read them. But you can read them for yourself too. Because, you know, especially in the United States, serious questions are asked. But anyway, that's going to wrap up creation. We're just going to keep it simple. Going back to the basics, and we're going to touch on topics, Lord willing, that are necessary for anyone across the world to know, things that people ought to know. And creation is one of those things that you ought to know. You ought to hear the truth, and the truth is what God says in his word, the Bible. So if you have any questions about salvation, of course, you can go to allwillstand.org. Click on the salvation link, and on the very top right hand, there's what Jesus did on the cross. You can also download that. Tons of information on there. And I hope you would consider those things. But until the next episode,